Good morning. I'm Luis Sainz, your host for Focus on Campus. And joining us today is Adriana Dominguez. Adriana is with the theater and dance department here on campus. And she's here to talk about tradition that's kind of a different tradition, a Christmas carol in La Frontera. Adriana, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you. We always appreciate your support. We're here all the time and we love it. Thank you.
So as I mentioned that you've been doing the Christmas carol for 11 years now, but this year, you're taking a different twist.
Yes, so it's Christmas Carol and La Frontera. So it is the classic story of Scrooge and redemption and joy and family and love. But we're setting it in La Frontera, which makes a lot of sense. This story could take place anywhere. Why not here? So this was very much the brainchild of my colleagues, Jay Stratton and Leanne Rinelli, because they were kind of tasked with A Christmas Carol for this season, and they definitely wanted to do something different. It is hard to do a show that we do every year. It's great for tradition in terms of families and schools, but as artists, it can get a little draining. So they wanted to try something new, and they approached me in terms of partnering with them to adapt this piece to our area. And so Jay and I, we rewrote the play. So that was my summer vacation, was rewriting A Christmas Carol to make it appropriate to our area. And now we're in rehearsals and Jay is directing it. And this particular version has a lot more dancing in it. And Leanne, which is one of our dance faculty, is doing the choreography for that. So I saw a run through on Friday and it looks amazing. I mean, and this is with, you know, minimal set, no costumes, and it was really enjoyable. And obviously I'm biased because I helped write it, but I really had a great time. The story is definitely still there, but it was fantastic that someone like me, who's from this region or at least appreciates this region, there are a lot of little bits and pieces like, yeah, I can relate to that. And I think that's really important in the art of theater.
One of the things, and you and I have talked about this in the past, that there's always a tradition. And here in El Paso, Southwest, New Mexico, Texas, we have a certain way of doing things in the different holidays. It's not like if you're in New York or in Memphis, Tennessee or in Nashville, but people still like their tradition. Now, as you mentioned at the beginning of the interview, this is the 11th year that you would have been doing Christmas Carol. But then if you start changing something, and especially when you're messing with Dickens, that must have been very difficult. Like you said, your summer vacation
it was gone. Yes, I was really looking forward to having July off, and that did not happen because we were working. And I think, I think we were really aware that taking such a classic piece was going to be a monster. But then we always remember people do it with Shakespeare all the time. They change his work because it's in the public domain, just as Dickens is as well, to adapt it to what meets their needs. And so, again, the story is very much there. You know, we have the characters of Scrooge, and instead of Bob Cratchit, it's Roberto. And his family, you know, crosses the bridge to come over to work for Scrooge. When we have the family meal, instead of a turkey, we're going to have tamales and champurrado. So a lot of the basic things, it just works for us. And again, hearing all of those words and all those references, to me, that's my tradition. And I think, you know, a lot of people are going to resonate with hearing these words and, you know, connecting with these traditions as well.
How did you deal with, the whole thing would have been difficult to rewrite or rearrange, but people might be wondering, okay, what about the spirits of Christmas? How did you?
Completely, right. And so we went back and forth many, many times trying to figure out how to do this accurately. And it is also a challenge just because even my Christmas, I'm a first generation U.S. citizen. My Christmas is different from my husband's Christmas, who's also a first generation, but his traditions are different. And from a lot of our students who cross over from Juarez, their traditions are different. So I was trying to encapsulate all of those and make them make sense, which was definitely a challenge. And definitely also within the Mexican culture, death is different. You know, the idea of death is taken very differently from what we may think of more of an American, idea of death. And so when we're looking back at those ghosts, they're espíritus. So we have people from Scrooge's past, just like we see, you know, in the regular Dickens classic. So instead of having this magical creature of Christmas past, we have Mother Superior, who was his teacher as a kid. And so I think a lot of us can resonate with having nuns as our teacher. And she does pull out her regla, right, her ruler, when he's not listening. So again, it very much has the Dickens feel. But I think, again, it's putting it into a place where a lot of us can connect with those particular things that are presented.
Having said that, Adriana, is the play presented bilingually?
It's about, I'm going to say about 70% English, 30% Spanish. And we were really sensitive that we have a diverse audience and we want everyone to enjoy it. So even if someone is monolingual in Spanish, they can still understand the English based on the actions and the word usage as well. We definitely are going to have tons of spectacle. So just visually, that'll tell the story. And even if you're monolingual English, even when things are spoken in Spanish, I think we frame them appropriately in conversation, that how things are responded to, you know what was said before. Because again, Jay, who was my co-adapter, he does not speak Spanish. And so he needed to be aware that he could understand the script, too. And we also had read-throughs so we could hear what it would sound like. We had individuals from Chicano Studies. Elvira Carizal Dukes came to our read-through to give us perspective. We also sent the script to Lilian Viveros, who works in El Tec de Monterrey. I know her from other work, and I wanted her perspective. She's a theater person, but also in terms of the use of language as well. Because again, if I wrote it, obviously it makes sense to me, but I needed an outside perspective. So we've had lots of people consult on our work to make sure that we're doing this right, because it is really important for us to do it right.
You mentioned at the beginning of the interview dancing, and there's lots of it. Let's talk about that.
Sure. So Leanne and her team have done some amazing work. We have several dancers from our dance program, and they create a lot of the environment within the piece. So we have a set of dancers who create the movement of the wind or the door, but we also definitely have a big dance number. What would typically be considered the Fezziwig scene, when Scrooge is thinking back to his younger days when he was an apprentice and there's a large party scene, our Fezziwig is Don Peluche. And he is, you know, his boss, and there's a huge dance scene. I don't want to give it away, but it was amazing. And I saw it with practice skirts and just the basic music off the speaker, you know, that was on the laptop. And so I can only imagine when we have everything put together, people are going to be blown away. One of our students, his name is Ian. He is our sound designer, and he has composed a lot of this music, and he's reached out to individuals to make sure that he's capturing the music appropriately. One of our team members is Margarita Mendez. She works at Chapin High School, and they have a mariachi band there. And so he's been working with her to get appropriate sounds and make sure that recordings are done right. So the music is amazing as well. So it's a huge combination of a lot of efforts. And I think people are really going to enjoy this production.
So just listening to what you're saying now, people are just going to be flabbergasted, not just visually, but also being able to hear all these great sounds, as you mentioned. Let's go back a little bit. And you mentioned Bob Cratchit.
Yes.
His name is now Roberto. What is his last name?
Cratchit.
Cratchit.
Yes.
And Mr. Scrooge, Senor Scrooge?
Yes, it's still Scrooge. Yes.
And as far as the music itself, you just mentioned some of the dance numbers. What about Christmas carols? Are some Christmas carols involved
in this? We do have, but they're definitely infused with kind of the local flavor and feel. So we do have a moment where we have traditionally like Carol of the Bells, dun, 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 right? That particular one. But it's definitely been infused with our local flavor, that you know that song, but you know that it was done here. It's amazing. I'm just blown away by the work that people have put into this. And it sounds so good. And again, that was on a laptop speaker. Again, when everything is put together, I think people are going to be blown away.
So when you and Jay were sitting down and crunching numbers, crunching words, you know, being a wordsmith is not an easy thing, especially when you're just asked to have just one sentence, it doesn't come out. So tell me a little bit about when you were envisioning all this in your mind, and then Jay in his mind, to bring that together and then convey it to the rest of the staff and cast. That must have been difficult.
Completely. And difficult, I think, is not the word.
Not the word.
Because it was a lot of work. And Jay and I, we work well together. We've worked on other projects together. You know, we're good colleagues. But it was a lot of back and forth of drafts. We've probably done like 9 full drafts. And that's a lot of work. I'm like, we should make a dissertation out of this, because it was so much writing. And then just, again, making sure that the word usage, like I had mentioned earlier, even the Spanish that I use is different from someone else's Spanish. Like one word may mean something, or I use it more, I think like, oh no, that's slang. And for someone else, no, that's something that I would use in a proper conversation. And so I think the read-throughs helped out with that. We've also been very open with our students to let them know that if something doesn't sound right, let us know. And we'll change it because they're the experts as well. And we want to make sure that it sounds as natural as possible. But we did have that challenge of making sure that if we have monolingual audiences from English or Spanish, that they'll still be able to understand and enjoy the entire piece. So we definitely had a challenge with that. And I'm sure it's not perfect. We hope to do it again next year. And I think we're learning a lot from this year that maybe a couple things are still going to be edited. I wouldn't doubt that probably within the year from now until, you know, producing it again, we'll probably go through another two drafts of a couple of things that maybe we thought it sounded right and it didn't. And then definitely, I think watching, listening and observing the audience at our shows is going to tell us a lot. Like, did that resonate? No. Like, we thought it was hilarious. No one else did. We need to move in another direction. So we do have that to our benefit, that we will have a year, you know, to continue adapting it.
Because you have been around, I wouldn't want to say forever, because
but a long time.
But yes. A long time with the theater and dance department. In fact, you are a professor there, PhD. Sometimes when we're being the professor and we have something in our mind on paper that we want somebody to read, we imagine in our minds what it should sound like. But then carrying that across to that person, sometimes it's not as easy. And then maybe sometimes they might have a different twist on it, and it sounds even better than what we imagined. So as you just mentioned a little while ago, you and Jay working together with the cast kind of produced whatever were empty words.
Right, because we thought, oh, this sentence is great. And no, like that did not work. Like once someone said it out loud, we're like, oh, that was a horrible idea. And then we changed it. And we're really lucky that we have that opportunity. You know, we're the playwrights and we can make those changes if we want to. And again, I think we will, because again, we hope to produce it again next year. We will change it. There will be some things that don't work. And that's, I mean, a really, really amazing thing, a luxury that we have that we can continue to change our work.
You have worked as well, not just as a writer, but also a director and doing other things on stage. For the benefit of our audience, if you wouldn't mind sharing with us what a director sees through his or her eyes.
Sure. Well, I mean, typically a director is going to have an overall vision, right? What they want at the end, what they want the audience to get at the end. And I think it's really specific to the show. I mean, we obviously definitely have a pressure with this particular show because there's already an expectation set. I mean, we've done it successfully for so many years. So many people have seen it and there's a very high expectation. So I think that definitely plays into what a director views, right? What they want to see at the end. And I think for this particular piece, and I can't speak for Jay, but I know we've had many conversations about it. You know, it's very much about appreciating our community. Jay is newer here. He hasn't been here that long, but he loves El Paso. Like everyone who comes to El Paso, they love it. I mean, how could you not? You have to love it. And I think he very much wants people to appreciate where we are and how lucky we are. Sometimes we see being on a border as a bad thing, and it's not. It's a beautiful, amazing, unique thing. And I think that very much plays into what we're trying to communicate, that we don't have to be separated by these borders. We're still one community. So I think that's definitely something that's in this piece.
As far as costumes goes, did you have to go out of your way to find that, or is it something that...
I mean, in terms of finding some of the products, definitely downtown is an awesome resource. But again, as we're starting all over, costumes have to be created, especially for our dancers. You know, they're going to have some of the folklorico pieces, and that's a lot of work. That's a lot of ribbon work. I mean, the amount of ribbon that had to be purchased for this particular production is astronomical, but it's going to be accurate to what people wear when they're performing such dances. So, I mean, I think we've had a lot of inspiration here, and we're very lucky that we have that. But again, it's everyone's still doing the same amount of work and research and design that they would have done even if we had done it as the traditional one.
Tell us about opening days and times.
Sure. So we have several performances. So we are going to open on December 8th at 2:30. And since that is our opening, all tickets will be $10. So everything is $10, whether you're a student, faculty, child. Then we have a show that night on the 8th at 7:30. And then December 9th, 14th and 16th at 2:30. And all those other shows, the tickets do go up. Adults are $18. It's $15 for UTEP alumni with their card, military, seniors, UTEP faculty and staff, and non-UTEP students. And then for UTEP students and children between the ages of 4 and 12, it's $12. So December 8th at 2:30, that's the one. That's the bargain price at $10. All of our main stage shows in the Y's on opening, they're $10.
And once again, the other dates are the 9th, 14th, and 16th?
Yes.
And that's at 7:30?
Those, the 9th and the 16th are at 2:30. The 14th is at 7:30. And then on the 8th, we also have one at 7:30 as well. So there are five opportunities for the public to come check us out. They can also check on our Facebook page, our website. They can call 747-5118 or 747-5234. They can go to Ticketmaster online as well. And then tickets are available at our box office, which is on the second floor of the Fox Fine Arts Center, or the University Ticket Center right there on Mesa. And they're the same price, as no additional charges or anything like that if you do the face-to-face at the box office.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
We've been visiting with Dr. Adriana Dominguez. She is with the theater and dance program here on campus and talking about A Christmas Carol in La Frontera. And that will kick off on December 8th and will run on the 9th, 14th, and 16th as well. If you need additional information, you can call 747-5118 or 747-5234. Adriana, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sines.